There was a young man who had spent an entire night up trying to perfect his masterpiece. Think back to your college days. Did you have anybody here ever pull an all-nighter? You have, Emmy? I've only done that once, and I swear to you, never again. It was bad news, bad news. But he spent up the entire night trying to perfect that masterpiece. And his masterpiece was a collection of 4 years of life experiences. It was his senior project, but it was so much more than an assignment. This was his life that he was pouring out on paper, and he wanted to get it just right. It was a collection of his successes and his failures. It was a collection of his joys and of his heartbreaks. It was a true picture of life in his full completion. All of the great things, the hilarious moments that we can look back on with fond memories, and also all of those things that make us ashamed and make us cringe. But he was trying to find a way to bring it to an end. He had one last paragraph to write, just one last few sentences, in order to bring it to end, to bring it to the perfect conclusion. And the more he wrote that paragraph, the less likely he was to find that perfect ending he was searching for. He would load that piece of paper into the old typewriter that he was using. He would type his final paragraph, and then he would read it, and it just was imperfect. He'd crumple it up, and he'd throw it off to the side, and he'd start again. It was the same process over and over and over again. Write the final paragraph, read it, find his satisfaction. It just didn't fit. He crumpled it up, and he threw it away. Now, eventually, he got to the point of absolute frustration, realizing he couldn't bring it to the ending he was searching for, not on his own. So he got up, and he walked away. He turned off his light in that dark dorm room and just left that typewriter sitting there alone. One piece of paper still loaded into it, one line he had written upon it. Just that typewriter sitting in darkness, surrounded by a pile of crumpled up, imperfect, and thrown away endings. Now, eventually, the sun would come up, as all mornings do. The sun rose, and it touched the side of his dormitory where he lived. And the rays grew higher, and one of the rays peeked its way through the blinds until it started creeping its way across the floor. It rose until it illuminated that typewriter, and particularly that one little line that he had written. And what it said was this: it doesn't have to end this way. On Easter Sunday, it doesn't have to end this way. What story of life are you writing for your life? What story, what masterpiece are you in the process of? And what conclusion do you want to draw about it? Do you ever feel trapped into a conclusion that just feels dissatisfactory to you? Well, friends, take heart. On Easter Sunday, it doesn't have to end that way. In the light of the resurrection, everything changes. Everything that we thought we knew about the world changes. Humanity, from the very beginning, it had a pretty common story. We all were born, we lived our lives, we filled our lives with various details, and we all came to the same conclusion. And I can just imagine our Creator in heaven looking down at His masterpiece, which is all of His children, He looking down at all of us whom He loved so very much and saying, gosh, that conclusion just doesn't fit. It doesn't have to end this way. But for all of us, none of us had the power to change it. The only one who could rewrite that ending was God. And God did exactly that. The rewrite began on the cross. And God finished our story in the back of a dark and old and empty tomb. It was there that our old conclusions were thrown away, and a new story was rewritten for you and for me. It doesn't have to end that way. In the light of the resurrection, friends, everything changes. And so what story are you writing right now about yourself? What story are you experiencing that you know that something needs to change? Something has to be different. In the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, it can be. There was a man who was an middle-aged man who was absolutely confident about everything that he did. He would be decisive in his actions, and he never questioned them. He never second-guessed the things that he did, even though in times there were probably times he probably should have second-guessed some of his actions. When you find yourself under stress or under pressure, how do you handle it? Do you rise to the occasion under stress and become your very best, or do you find yourself breaking and falling apart? Well, this particular man claimed that no matter what stress, no matter what pressure was put upon him, that he would never break. He claimed that in times when others would cower in the back of a boat, he wasn't the kind of person to not take chances. He took every chance he had in his life. He would climb out of the boat of life and venture his way into life without a second thought. But when it comes time for pressure to come, how do you handle it? He said that he would never break under pressure. But friends, every single one of us, we are all strong until the day that we are not. And the day came when he said that even if the gates of hell were raised in front of me, I won't break. And the day came when the gates of hell rose in front of him. It happened in the courtyard of the high priest. And it didn't take some monstrous, overwhelming thing to break Peter. All it took was the question of one little girl. And she asked him, "Aren't you one of them? I swear that you are. Aren't you one of his disciples, this Jesus of Nazareth?" And this Peter, this disciple that swore he would never break under pressure, he broke when he denied our Savior, his friend, his teacher, three times. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. "I don't know this man named Jesus." And just as soon as those words came out of his mouth, he hated himself for saying it. He thought he was once so brave, but he came to the realization he was not brave. He was a coward. He was a fool. And Peter hated the ending he was writing. His story of life was coming to a conclusion that he never imagined it would come to. And he ran away and he wept in the story he had written. Friends, in the power of Easter morning, in the light of the resurrection, it doesn't have to end that way. For the light of the resurrection comes and it shines on cowards and fools like Peter and me. And when our Savior Jesus Christ looked at the story that his dear disciple had written for himself, he took that shameful conclusion that Peter had written, and he crumpled it up and he threw it back into the back of an old empty tomb. He crumples up all of those dissatisfactory conclusions that we write, and he writes a new story in his name. Friends, in the light of the resurrection, everything changes. Now, Mary Magdalene, she was the first to see that resurrection light shining. And believe me, Mary Magdalene needed to see it shining. How much do many of you know about Mary Magdalene? To be honest with you, I didn't know very much about her. I never really researched much about her until this past week. I knew that Mary Magdalene was one of the women that followed Jesus throughout his ministry. And she was one of the women who helped to support his ministry financially. But beyond that, I didn't know much. Now, I came to learn about Mary Magdalene that all sorts of people have written all sorts of stories about her ever since the first century. And some people have translated that word Magdalene into some not so flattering things. They say that the word Magdalene translated into a woman who wears braids. The word is Magdala. And the connotation back in that culture at that time period would if you wore braids in your hair as a woman, then you were a lustful and a sinful person. New other people have said about Mary Magdalene that she was a woman who was cursed with seven demons and that Jesus had come into her life and set her free from that torturous life. And out of gratitude, she followed Jesus. There isn't so much that we really know about Mary Magdalene, except for the simple fact that what we do know about her is that people have written a whole lot of stories about her and none of them are flattering. And Mary needed to see Jesus. The world looked at Mary like she was dirt, but Jesus never looked at her that way. Jesus never treated her like she was somebody to be ashamed of. He never treated her like she was a sinful person. He never treated her like that kind of person you try to keep at arm's length. No, he was never ashamed to stand at her side. As a matter of fact, he kept Mary very close to his side, just as he did with all of his disciples, because he loved every single one of them. And when I don't know about you, but have you ever felt that the world is writing a bad story about you and drawing conclusions about you that you just don't like? Well, that was the life of Mary. But when you find that one person in the world who truly loves you for you, and you would never leave that person's side. And believe me, Mary never left Jesus' side. Even on the day of crucifixion, when all the other disciples ran away, Mary stayed. She stayed as she saw the one person who treated her with respect put on the cross. She stayed when they took his body down. And she was there as he was put into his tomb. And as that stone in front of the tomb was rolled closed, Mary must have believed that her story had come to an end, that this was the conclusion. The story must have been written in that stone, she thought. The reality was, it was written in that stone. It just didn't have the conclusion that Mary thought it would. And Mary, that Sunday morning, she made her way to the tomb where Jesus was buried, and she came and she saw that stone rolled away. And Mary was the very first to see that resurrection light shining. She saw the stone rolled away, and she came to realize that her story was rewritten, just as all of ours is rewritten in the precious blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. And with that stone opened up, a new path ahead for her life was there. Friends, what part of your story needs a rewrite? All of us get to experience that on Easter morning. And so no matter where you are in life, we can get to the point in which our stories just don't fit us, which we feel trapped into some conclusion that we just can't avoid. We're powerless to make a change about it. We feel perhaps like we're on some kind of collision course towards the end. Perhaps you're having some kind of a fight within the family that just goes on forever. Friends, remember, in the light of Easter Sunday, everything can change. It doesn't have to end that way. Perhaps your heart has been broken, and it just will not end. Everything changes on Easter Sunday. Perhaps your reputation has been tarnished. Perhaps it's even been destroyed. Or perhaps you need to reconcile with somebody, and then you come to terms with the fact that you never had the chance. That person died in your life before you had the chance to say what you needed to say. Friends, it doesn't have to end that way. The resurrection light is shining for you and for me, and it changes everything. It shines on the fools and cowards like Peter and like me. The resurrection light shines on people who experience the cruel stories that the world writes about us. And it shines. Jesus looks at all of the conclusions that have been written about us, conclusions that we sometimes write ourselves, and he realizes they just don't fit the great children of God, the people that God created. And he crumples up all of those old conclusions. And there at the back of a dark old tomb is where those conclusions lie. Right next to the grave clothes that he discarded when he was set free. And this morning, a new story begins. A new ending with an ending that is a beginning in the resurrection light. Hallelujah. Christ our Savior lives. He has risen indeed. And our story, as Easter people, it begins now. Amen.